Chapter 25, Up Danger Peak. Robert quickly found the dirt path that lined the edge of the mountain, and he wondered just how far it would wind upward before disappearing. Just to make sure it was working, he flipped on his walkie-talkie to the correct frequency and announced, "Okay, guys, I found the trail." Afterward, there was silence on the other end, and he stared at his device in unbearable suspense, making sure to also keep his attention on the rough mountainous terrain in front of him. "Have they been caught by their parents?" he thought. "Or worse, the cops?" Turning around to peer behind him as his bike climbed ever higher, he could still see their tiny shadows at the mountain base, and he breathed a sigh of relief. But upon turning his head forward again, he saw a sharp curve in the trail only several feet away, and he swerved his bike sideways to narrowly miss it. His dad's tires violently jerked beneath him as he noticed the trail was getting bumpier. Finally, his walkie-talkie came alive with the sound of his friends.
"All right, Robert," Chris said. "Looking good so far. Keep going."
"Yeah,"
Rinny added.
"We can still see you."
Feeling their support flow through his movements, Robert revved the motor into high gear. "Okay," he said. "This is for us." After stashing his communicator into his secret compartment, he popped a wheelie and screamed forward. He felt like he could take on the world. With his friends by his side, there was nothing he couldn't do. As Robert's town became smaller and smaller while he climbed higher and higher, he began to realize that all the problems of the townsfolk below, including his own, didn't seem as significant anymore. At least, not as much as when he was on ground level. From God's vantage point, he reasoned, everything seemed less important. Yet because of life's fragility, somehow everything seemed much more precious. Ironically, Robert had always been afraid of heights, so as he and his bike climbed ever upward, he made sure not to look down too often. He was almost dizzy from the advanced elevation, and the thin air was making it harder to breathe. On top of that, the beautifully clear morning had suddenly given way to a thick fog. Like a grumpy giant in some children's fairy tale, it was as if Danger Peak itself didn't wish to be disturbed. As the fog gathered, it made it increasingly difficult to see, and Robert was fighting a headache from his sprained ankle, which was still sore. Up and around the mountain, he followed the path until it became impenetrable. Eventually, the trail completely disappeared beneath him, and he was riding blind. After several more minutes of carefully maneuvering his bike up the side of the mountain, in the back of his mind, Robert wondered if his friends could still see him. Though he could guess the answer, a fearful side of him didn't want to know. Still, his greater, braver side was curious, and that part is what ultimately prevailed. With one hand still steadily steering his dream machine, Robert carefully reached behind him to open the secret compartment. After flipping open the latch, he reached even farther to grab his walkie-talkie. Excitedly tuning the dial into his friend's agreed-upon frequency, he called out, "Guys, are you there? It's me, Robert." He would have slapped his forehead in embarrassment if he didn't need to keep his balance on the rugged terrain. Who else would it be? He asked himself. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? There was no response, so Robert tried again. "Chris," he called out to the void. "Rinny? Anybody?" Silence. It was then that Robert truly felt alone. Lost in thought and not paying attention, he rode over a hollowed-out crater, and the bounce of the bike threw his walkie-talkie to the ground, instantly shattering it to pieces. And with it, his final contact to the world below. To add insult to injury, the fog misting the pathway now enveloped him into a thick shroud. Robert flipped on his high beams, but similar to a car's headlights, they only shone distractingly back at him, forming a glare in his visor, so he turned them back off. Before he could complain about the fog, as if in a twisted game of one-upmanship, the weather worsened. Storm clouds began gathering overhead, and Robert realized he must be getting closer to the top. He sighed with relief, until a dramatic flash of lightning erupted in the sky, seemingly inches from his face. The skin of his arms practically sizzled from the heat, and he felt like he was entering a boxing ring with Zeus himself. Another electric strike tore a hole in the path directly in front of him, sending a mound of dirt flying into his face, and Robert had to quickly weave around it to avoid falling in. After narrowly missing that pitfall, yet another bolt ripped through the atmosphere and shook his tiny bike asunder, the flash almost blinding him. He felt the next one might not miss its mark. It's as if someone, or something, didn't want him to reach the top. "Hold together, baby," he told his bike. Still another lightning bolt lit up the sky. The one positive aspect of the sudden change in weather was that for brief moments during each flash, Robert could see everything in his path. That's when the rain came pouring down in sheets. It formed tiny rivulets in the makeshift road, the shifting sands and rocks beneath his bike making it progressively difficult to navigate his way to the top. The water pelted his visor hard, and he wished he had a miniature window wiper to clear it off. The idea sounded like something Dr. Howard would invent, and Robert fleetingly considered the irony of how his ex-technology teacher had inadvertently helped him achieve his goal. Yet more thunder rang in his ears. Well, almost achieve his goal. He wasn't out of the woods, or more accurately, mountain, yet. Robert realized that all he needed to get through this sudden storm was a boost in speed. That's when he felt like a fool. After all, it's not like he was riding an average everyday dirt bike. He had built the action bike for this very purpose. Blindly feeling the wet metallic body lashed with rain, with one hand he finally located what he was seeking and firmly pushed the miniature button of the turbocharger. Instantaneously, the vehicle rocketed to a cool 60 miles per hour, quickly bypassing the fog and rain. He was moving so fast, in fact, it looked like someone had sucked up the fog in a giant vacuum cleaner. Because he had never attempted a boost on a vertical slope, Robert could feel himself losing control of his bike, and the turbocharger wheezed with a great whine. Before he could switch it off, there was a sharp bang from the enhanced attachment, and it belched a dark cloud of smoke, its power fizzling away to nothing. Robert realized the turbocharger broke, but it mattered little. It had accomplished the job he had set out for it to do. He stroked his brother's invention like he was petting a spaniel before putting it to sleep. "Sorry, Danny," he apologized. Looking ahead, it seemed that he was in the clear. There was no more rain, thunder, or even fog to contend with. Robert smiled brightly and thought of one of his favorite lines from Ghostbusters. "Well, that wasn't such a chore now, was it?" That's when a giant boulder came smashing down in front of him, almost destroying the action bike in the process. "How could I be so stupid?" Robert asked himself, echoing his father. "How could I have forgotten the boulders?" Giving himself some grace, Robert realized that so much had happened up to that point that it was easy to get distracted from the real danger of Danger Peak, the impromptu landslide, the one that no one had yet survived. Another smaller boulder flew by his safety helmet, then another, this time larger than the first. Yet another raced by, almost glancing his side. They kept coming, like a hailstorm in the land of giants, and Robert wondered exactly where their origin was. They seemingly came out of nowhere, like some secret portal, and Robert weaved his bike in and out of the falling boulders while thinking of Han Solo deftly navigating the Millennium Falcon through an asteroid field. Before he could contemplate just where the large rocks were coming from, this time, Robert no longer hesitated. Charging up his miniature laser cannon, he did what it had been brought there for, obliterating boulders to smithereens. As he repeatedly fired the laser, red bolts split the boulders into pieces. Large boulders fragmented into smaller ones, and smaller ones disintegrated into dust. Dark sand exploded into Robert's visor, and he wiped it off with the back of his arm. For a moment, the boulders stopped coming. Robert rode up into the clouds themselves, as if he were entering the gates of heaven. As the clouds parted, he could at last glimpse the top of Danger Peak, and it was magnificent. He triumphantly cheered, pumping one fist in the air, when he was suddenly hit with another massive boulder. At that point, he only saw black.